Welcome to this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd. Today we're going to be talking about Hollywood. I misread that. Today we're going to be talking about Bollywood.
Yeah.
Gotta be honest with you, I don't know anything about Bollywood. I thought this was just a typo on the sheet. Apparently not, because now I'm kind of reading our, you know, little sticky note that we have as far as our information about what we're going to talk about, and you have Bollywood written on all of these. So you didn't make a mistake in say we're going to talk about Hollywood, but then replace the H with a B. So we're going to talk about Bollywood. What is Bollywood?
Well, first of all, I thought the other day when we did the podcast on the gay Asian disco non-scene as such, that we weren't currently banned or unwelcome in enough countries around the world. So I figured we may as well add one of the largest ones to the list. The no-fly list is growing ever stronger. But I was actually aware of Bollywood a long, long time ago, because I would download those apps which gave you free TV, but it wasn't free TV as in Fox or ESPN and all these other stuff. I'd get a lot of Indian channels, and there'd be a lot of movies which I just couldn't work out for the life of me what was going on. So I actually researched it a little bit. And Bollywood is actually the name of India's main film industry. It's more commonly known as indie cinema.
Indie cinema.
Hindi, yeah. If you want to...
Hindi.
H-I-N-D-I.
Gotcha.
The reason it's called Bollywood is because it's mainly based in Bombay in India.
Okay.
And they just combined Bombay with Hollywood and called it Bollywood. So, I mean, I think, you know...
Good for them. I mean, it, you know, play on word.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Whoever came up, that was definitely worth the $2 they paid them for... You know, the creation of that name.
That seems like a lot to pay him, but okay.
Yeah, but, you know, despite the fact I know, you know, you're not really up to date on Bollywood, and a lot of Americans aren't, it is actually a huge market in the world for movies. I mean, they produce...
I know absolutely nothing about Bollywood.
I just told you it was based in Bombay, mainly.
Okay, so now I know 75% of the knowledge I need to know about Bollywood.
Whoa.
So fill me in on the other 25%.
Right. Well, I mean, it produces anywhere between, like, I think it was 1,500 and 2,000 movies a year on average. Now, I don't know if it's done much this year or whether that bothered about the COVID or not. Maybe they've upped it up to 3,000. I'm not entirely sure. But, you know, in the average year from Hollywood studios, it's only between 750 movies from Hollywood. So,
okay, Hollywood, of course, being in the United States, we're cranking out 500 to 750 movies a year. I mean, that's still honestly impressive. Think about it, 365 days a year.
Yeah.
That's two movies a day.
I wouldn't say we're, because we live in Texas, and I don't know if I want to claim ownership of a lot of those movies which come out of Hollywood.
No, we don't. But but still, California, basically, let's admit that most of them are coming from over there. They're cranking out, on average, two movies a day. That's impressive. Hey, they're cranking out more movies than we're cranking out podcasts.
Yeah.
So, good for them.
Yeah, but also, you have to remember, you know, there's a lot of stuff that comes out of Hollywood which isn't that good. I mean, you know, and because of the marketing...
Episode 8 of Star Wars, fine example.
Well, the fact as well, I mean, we only discovered maybe the greatest movie ever made, The Velocipaster.
The Velocipaster.
Earlier this year.
Oh, such a great movie.
Yeah.
Such a great movie.
And that had a budget of less than our normal QT run on a Tuesday morning.
So, exactly.
Yeah.
But good on that guy.
Yeah, I don't want to set you up for failure immediately on this, because I love to play the Let's Get the Shepherd completely guess stats wrong.
Okay.
But given Bollywood you know, comes from India. What percentage do you think Bollywood represents of box office revenue in India? I'll give you a clue. It's number between 1 and 100 because all other numbers are fake.
Okay, so box office revenue
in
India.
Yeah.
Bollywood movies, meaning those movies are made in India.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 80%.
Only 45%.
Ah, see?
Oh, and this is
why I'm terrible at gambling.
I know, and this is why I always set you up with these questions. Anything which I think you'd actually have a realistic chance of guessing remotely in the ballpark, I don't ask.
You're never going to throw me a softball, are you?
Yeah,
is just the way this is always going to be.
Yeah,
you're never throwing me a softball.
Yeah, this is fast pitching pre-K.
It's terrible.
But amazingly, one of the great markets, especially during, well, I guess now they call it the new Bollywood because they've kind of gone off in a little bit of a new direction. But
how old is the old Bollywood?
It stretches back to like about the 50s when it first started becoming popular. But one of the biggest markets was actually Russia, and a lot of their top movies would get translated into Russian.
Interesting.
Interesting and crazy. But
yes. Well, I was trying to put a nice spin on it, saying interesting. Yeah. I would have went with the crazy deal. Yeah. Yes.
And Putin hasn't tried to stop the influx of Bollywood movies, so
Putin is a huge Bollywood fan.
He might well be.
That's why he's not stopping it.
Right.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Now, Bollywood movies are mostly musicals. I know you said you didn't really know much about it. I have watched a few, like I said, mainly down to desperation and growing up in England with not many TV channels. I did have to, you know, via the internet, have to look at some, you know, other film genres. But yeah, mainly musicals. And it's not unusual for them to be 3 hours or more long, but they have intermissions in the movie theaters.
Okay, so real intermissions, not joke intermissions like Monty Python and the Holy Grail, where you know they're crossing the bridge and they're like, oh, intermission, because intermissions were a big thing way back in the day. You know, you'd go to the movie theater, you'd see a movie, it was kind of long, and then all of a sudden they'd have an intermission. But now, you're saying in Bollywood, they actually plug these intermissions in.
Right, yeah. I mean, you have to. If it's 3 hours, I mean, you have to, really.
You know, I can sit through The Godfather, which is over 3 hours without getting up. But I wonder, what do people in India do during intermission?
Well, you have to remember, if they're drinking probably the Indian knockoff version of Coca-Cola, then probably they need to get the toxins out of the system. I don't know.
Fair enough. It makes sense.
But is it true that, like in America, back in maybe 50s, 60s, 70s, they actually used to have intermissions during the middle of regular movies?
Yes. Yeah. No, they did.
Because I think I saw that thing, let's all go to the lobby. And
right.
This black and white thing, which would appear like...
Yeah. Well, it was also, I think we talked about this on a podcast before, kind of with the subliminal messaging in the movies. You know, they wanted you to go back out and buy more popcorn, buy another Coke, you know, whatever it might be to try to get a little more revenue. And most people, they sit down, they watch a movie, they don't want to get up, they want to see the whole movie, because we're a little bit spoiled with Netflix and things like that, that you can pause the movie and go to the bathroom, go to the kitchen, get you some food or whatever, and then restart the movie. But if you go to a traditional movie theater, you don't have that benefit.
Right.
You end up missing some of the movie. So the intermission allows you to go ahead and get up, stretch your legs, run to the restroom, grab you another Coke, grab you another bag of popcorn or whatever, and then sit down and then continue the movie.
Well, you can't in your house because you've got 6 people. So if you waited for the official pause of the movie, you may as well just sit there and wait yourself, to be honest.
That's...
I'm kind of glad they got rid of that intermission thing, though, because that all of that kind of I think it was Dance and Popcorn, the thing I saw on it, that's Let's All Go to the Lobby. That would have really ruined Schindler's List if they'd have kept that on.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah. Now you think about Well, you don't think about Bollywood because you don't know anything about
Bollywood. No, this is the first I've heard about it.
But, you know, the most expensive Bollywood movies are roughly around $20 million, and the investment tends to come from private sources. And there's a few kind of maybe what they consider big movie studios, but nothing compared to like Paramount and Universal Studios over here. Whereas the average cost of a Hollywood movie in 2019 was between $70 and $90 million.
Wow.
Whereas, like I said, the most expensive Bollywood movies tend to be around $20 million.
So they're doing it for a fifth of the price over there.
Yeah.
Good for them. They figured out a way.
Yeah. Now, you see, there are actually more people in the world who watch Bollywood movies than Hollywood movies.
No, I don't believe you.
Yeah, 2.6 billion as opposed to 3 billion overall.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's hard to believe.
Yeah. I don't know if that counts for people watching it twice because there was nothing good coming out that week. But you have to remember also there were more movies. Remember I said, you know, you can have up to 2,000 movies a year produced by Bollywood, whereas, you know, in a very busy year, about 750 is roughly the max from Hollywood.
So like when we were going back, Hollywood's popping out 2 movies a day.
Yeah.
Bollywood is popping out 6 movies a day.
Yeah.
Wow, they're busy over there.
They are busy.
They're getting it done.
They are busy, but also, I mean, it's not like we've done a lot of research on the country, but I'm not sure what else they have to do.
Technical support?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've outsourced all that over there.
Yeah.
So basically, that kind of explains why the technical support isn't good, because I'm guessing the people that they punt down to technical support weren't good enough to be in the movie business, because the movie business sounds very busy over there.
It does. I mean, the actual highest paid Bollywood actor is a guy named Salman Khan. And I think actually
Salman?
Salmon. But when I first heard his name, Salmon.
Does he swim upstream?
Well, he's the highest paid actor, so you can guarantee he's a good swimmer.
Okay.
Yeah. But he makes about $14 million per movie.
Wow.
Whereas
$14 million American dollars,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay. They had the original figure in rupees, and I don't know how much a rupee is. If I was trying to sell a car and they gave me 14 rupees, I'd be like, sounds fair enough. But apparently it's not that kind of, it's not.
Yeah, I don't know. I know dollars, and that's about it.
Yeah. whereas, like, even Keanu Reeves, when I think it was the second and third Matrix movies, because they filmed them kind of simultaneously.
Right.
He made like $30 million from those two movies.
Wow.
And that was back 2002, 2003 when they wrapped up the filming. And like I said, even today, you know, the highest paid Bollywood actor, despite how many people, you know, in a worldwide box office watch these movies, still only gets about $14 million, and he's the highest paid.
Hmm.
Now, who do you think in the last few years, again, this is a fast pitch towards maybe the Miracle League kids.
Yeah.
Who do you think over the last few years was the highest paid American actor, and what did he get for
a
movie?
Okay, so you helped me out a little bit because you said he.
Yeah.
So now I know it's a male actor. I'm going to guess Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
With all the Iron Man stuff.
Well, actually, that's what I thought originally, because I read, and because I didn't do my research, I just took it as fact, that he got paid $300 million for Iron Man 3, which is not true at all. Apparently, he only got paid $10 million for that movie. But he had a whole bunch of write-ins with like merchandise and future sales up to a maximum, I think, of like $300 million. But the movie, which he wasn't even the starring role in, for Captain America Civil War, he got $40 million just for a bit part. I mean, he had a decent role in it, but I mean, it wasn't his movie. It wasn't Iron Man, it's Captain America.
Yeah, but he's just a member of the Avengers.
$40 million. Now, I think,
which is enough to make two Bollywood movies.
Well, I mean, well, that the highest movies in terms of like how much money they spend. I mean, in terms of average expenditure, you could probably make about 10 of them.
True.
But given the titles of some of them, I think he could probably make about 30 of them. Because I think part of the reason they haven't really caught on, even when they've been dubbed into English and put on Netflix and everything over here in the United States, is because some of the titles, when they literally translate, you know, sometimes when you're scrolling through Netflix and you see the title and it might inspire you to just to read that little bit further. But some sure. titles are like, yeah, I'm not watching that crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So here's some of the titles that came. Some of the most popular Bollywood movies, right?
Okay.
Some of the highest grossing movies. My particular favorite was one which translated as Salt Bastard.
No kidding.
Yeah, that was a very popular movie, apparently. And five of the other really popular ones, which again, if you see this on Netflix, I don't know if you're going to bother reading the description. One was called Peacock on Robber.
Peacock on Rubber.
Yeah. Now, what? Robber. Okay. No, not rubber. Robber.
Robber.
Yeah, as in like somebody who steals stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Peacock on Robber.
What do you think that movie's about?
I don't have a clue. Maybe it's the NBC app that they're a little bit upset, and so they're going against people that steal for a living?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't actually even read the description of that movie. I just thought Peacock might be the name of like a villain or a character. And so that may have meant more sense than that onward didn't translate properly. So it's like Peacock is a robber or Peacock's after a robber.
But you know what? Peacocks get a bad name. I remember, you know, my Who wife from? And I are looking at maybe buying a house and... Here in Texas, there's a lot of areas where you can buy what we call ranchettes. And there was a neighborhood that was out there, and you could get 5 to 10 acres of land and blah, blah, blah. And you ended up with what they call a barn dominium shell, which basically gives you a barn. Then you build a house later on. And they had kind of a makeshift HOA, and they were asking questions about, you know, what kind of animals can you have? And the explanation was you can have any kind of animal you want except peacocks. Yeah, and that bothered me. Why can't you have peacocks?
Well, I mean, given we're allowed tigers here in Texas.
Exactly. We can have tigers. Yeah. We can have ducks, which we've determined they're evil. Why can't you have peacocks? And so maybe the Bollywood people are onto something and they're trying to let everybody know that peacocks are terrible animals.
Right.
I don't know anything about peacocks.
Now I know we normally don't go off on tangents on our podcast, but
we never go off on tangents.
I just noticed you're drinking Miller Lite, and it says on the can it's got a picture of a Dallas Cowboys player. And it's saying celebrating 60 years of greatness. Now, for the last 20 years have been very mediocre. So did they actually start before 1960 when they're established? Or are they really trying to count these last 20 years?
Well, I think part of the problem, and let's be honest, is if we were drinking Alien Ale right now, which is one of our sponsors, and we just happened to run out. So, yeah, we had to run to the gas station and buy some beer. That the gas station down the street doesn't have Alien Ale, but if Alien Ale was sponsored by the Cowboys, they would probably put something on there to say, guys, you got to get your stuff together and actually try to win some games.
Well, I actually think Jason, the owner of Alien Ale, would actually be honest if he actually put the Cowboys on the can and be like celebrating 11 years of greatness. It wouldn't be 60 years, let's be honest.
Well, let's be honest. Jason would probably have a Baltimore Ravens logo on the can.
Yeah.
And based off what the Ravens are doing this year, I got to hand it to him. Yeah. I'd probably do the same thing.
Right.
But Jason, if you're listening, we're out of Alien Ale again. Yeah. We need a refill.
Yeah. Another great title for one of the movies, and I thought this was somewhat related to Cartman in South Park at some point. It's called Charming Cartwoman.
Charming Cartwoman. Okay, yeah. Explain that one to me.
Well, again, I didn't spend the time to look up what it's about. What do you think it's about? Charming Cartwoman. I'm guessing it's a woman who pushes a cart and she's charming.
Yeah, I mean, that would be my guess. You have this woman that's pushing a cart down the road. Maybe she's selling, I don't know, trinkets that you normally find in a convenience store. And because she doesn't have the real estate to have her own store, she's got to relegate herself to a cart. But she's charming.
Yeah.
You like talking to her. So, Charming Cart Woman. Right. I guess that's where that's going and how Bollywood made a movie out of that. Good for them.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't figure out how to make a movie out of that.
Well, you haven't heard the next one. This one I might actually download illegally over BitTorrent because I'm not paying for this crap.
I don't know what that is.
It says that this is the title of the movie translated. Fish without water, electricity without dance. So one title. Fish without water, electricity without dance.
That sounds absolutely terrible.
Well,
but interesting.
We're gonna find out because I'm gonna download it and I'm gonna bring it to the studio maybe later on this week and we're gonna sit and watch it. And we might actually, you know, like we've done such great musical reviews on, you know, the Smiths and REM's Losing My Religion. We might actually do a movie review of Fish Without Water, Electricity Without Dance.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I hate that idea.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll have to watch it first. Because remember, first of all, when we heard the title of the Velocipasta, we thought, oh, this is going to be terrible.
But true.
It's in the top three greatest movies ever made.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, IMDb is missing out because Citizen Kane, okay, you get a pass on that. It's a great movie, whatever.
Well, it's good for you because you're colorblind, so.
Yeah, and especially because it's in black and white.
Right,
I don't have to worry about that.
You don't lose anything in translation.
But number two should be the Velocipastor.
Yeah.
I mean, great special effects, great costuming, great writing, everything. Fantastic movie.
Right. And this next one, I think, was supposed to be a version.
Honestly, Stanley Kubrick is probably rolling in his grave right now that he didn't make the Velocipastor.
Is he dead?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he died a long time ago.
I didn't know if he kind of killed himself after watching the Velocipastor and wished he'd have
made it. Oh, no. No, what was it? The Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman movie.
Not the Eyes Wide Shut.
No. Yeah. Eyes Wide Shut. That was his last movie, and he died as it was getting released.
That's a fantastic movie. So underrated by a lot of people as well.
Incredible
movie.
But you know what? I think if he wouldn't have passed away, Stanley Kubrick wouldn't have passed away, his next movie would have been The Velocipastor.
Yeah.
It would have.
Yeah. Now, this one, like I said, I think it was a bit of a ripoff maybe of Pretty Woman. I think because actually a lot of Bollywood movies, they copy almost like the scripts of a lot of popular Hollywood movies.
I can kind of see that. Mess around
a little bit with it.
Sure.
And this one was called Cheap Bride, Expensive Groom, which makes you think the bride's a bit of a slut and the groom is too good for her. And so I kind of thought it might be along that Pretty Woman type.
Let's be honest, that's something that is obviously overseas, because in the United States it's always the opposite. It's the groom that's cheap.
They
don't want much. It's the bride that wants everything. So I can see why Bollywood kind of, you know, lost out on that one with the American audience, because any man knows that, hey, I'm here for my wedding. Give me some free booze and you're going to make me wear this penguin suit. Fair enough. But, you know, I'm worried about what happens after the ceremony and the party's over and we go to the honeymoon suite.
Well, I actually felt kind of guilty after I first thought that about that movie, because I thought it might just be a really nice lady who, you know, wants to save some money, realizes she's under a budget, but wants to save the money for an Audi or a Lexus about 6 months in. I don't know.
And then you realized you were absolutely wrong.
Well, I didn't look it up, so there's no way of knowing.
Well, there you go.
There's no way I'm going to look it up after this podcast finishes either. And the last one I'm going to leave you with in terms of the titles of some of these great movies is Lie and the Crow Bites.
Lie, like you're telling a lie.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Yeah, I don't. Okay. Well, actually, well, say that. That's what it translates. So I don't know if it means lay down on your back
Google Translate might have messed this one up. Well, so say it again.
Lie and the Crow Bites.
You can't trust crows.
Well, to be honest, I don't know.
Ducks are evil, but crows, they're even more evil. Right. You know, they gang up on people and they, not people, but animals, and you can't trust crows.
Yeah.
You can't trust crows more than you can't trust ducks.
Now, I can guarantee in any of those movies, going from the classic, which we definitely need to download, the Salt Bastard one, because that's a hugely popular movie, apparently.
Yes.
That, and I think we can watch the Fish Without Water or Electricity Without Doubts one. What you need to understand, you know, in a lot of Bollywood movies, other than the dancing, they actually involve a lot of poorly choreographed martial arts where the hero is normally outnumbered by about 6-1 or something. But, you know, they do the usual thing of, you know, they attack one at a time and punch like an 18-month-old toddler who's like sworn to a life of pacifism. And he kind of, after he's taken like about 90 punches and fallen over a few times, he kind of kicks butt. But that, outside of the singing and the dancing, is mainly the kind of theme for a lot of movies, regardless of the genre.
Regardless of genre.
Yeah, so, I'm gonna touch on that a little bit later, and it might actually surprise you about that. But yeah, I think almost every Bollywood movie I've ever caught a little bit of, outside of the singing and the dancing, which they have brilliant choreography for.
Well, let's talk about the singing and the dancing. Yeah. I mean, you keep kind of glazing over this. I mean, is the singing and the dancing good?
The choreography is good.
Okay.
The singing and the dancing, not so good.
So you've got somebody in the background. You've got Paula Abdul sitting back there and saying, you know, here's how you're going to dance and all this looks good.
Yeah.
But the singing, you're saying not so much?
Singing and the dancing is terrible in terms of it. It's, if you want, I think if we really want to figure out where TikTok came from, I think they just
Bollywood.
Bollywood. Because most of the dances on TikTok, I think, are just like Bollywood ripoffs, I think.
Oh.
Because, but mind you, having said that,
solving problems.
Well, I don't.
The Wolf and the Shepherd are solving mysteries here, so that's where TikTok came from, is Bollywood.
Which surprises me, because China aren't really renowned for ripping people off.
Oh, no, not at all.
They're original.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. They never take a product and put a bad name on it and try to sell you a fake version.
So, I mean, it
never happens.
Yeah, so I mean, it's actually quite amazing that, you know, Bollywood has this box office audience of, you know, in 2019, 3 billion people. But, you know, outside of Hollywood, you know, the markets are not really that competitive. It's very localized, you know, like, you know, we go with like Chinese movies. We saw that advert for that one earlier, which I looked up because I read the title and I thought, oh my goodness, this must be the equivalent of an R-rated movie, right?
Sure.
Absolutely not. It was called Raped by an Angel 4, so there's been 3 previous movies.
Yeah, and good for them.
Yeah, and, well, I mean, if the first 3 are that successful, why stop at 3? I mean, look at the Friday the 13th franchise. Right. I mean, that went on, I mean, you know, almost forever. Same thing with the Nightmare on Elm Street ones.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah. But Halloween, same thing. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of Halloween movies.
Yeah, but those ones are actually still quite good. I think outside of the third one, which was terrible, they were actually pretty decent, you know, because they still retain good actors.
But they have that sequel following.
Yeah, right, yeah. But anyway, yeah, Raped by an Angel 4, The Rapers Union. And as we discovered, the main actor plays a role named the Human Drinking Doctor. Now, I did actually, after I spoke to you about this earlier, I watched the trailer and I thought it might be a documentary at first, but it is actually a comedy.
Oh, okay.
Which I think explains its kind of like non-offensive rating.
Let's be honest, I might have thought that was a documentary.
Right, yeah.
The human drinking doctor.
Well, I couldn't understand what they were saying, so I couldn't tell whether it was serious or not, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Totally could see that.
Yeah. But I actually wanted to move on to maybe an area of Bollywood where it was kind of a true or false section.
Okay.
So this might be complete crap. So the I don't believe you section, basically.
True or false, I have a 50-50 chance of winning here, which is more of a 50-50-90-10, meaning got a 50-50 shot and I'm 90% going to probably be wrong.
Well, this depends how well I've researched this, because even if you gave both answers, you still might be wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, anyway, apparently Bollywood has a superhero genre, quite a decent, and I guess...
True!
Yeah. Well, hold on, I haven't finished yet.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, given, you know, the birth or overdoing of superhero movies over the last decade, you know, it's not like Disney, you haven't milked that cow till it weighs 4 pounds, and they're having to give it, you know, life support to keep it going. But one of the most popular Bollywood superhero movies is called A Flying Jatt. J-A-T-T.
What is a jatt?
I don't know. But do you want to hear the description for this
Absolutely.
Movie?
Absolutely. Well, a Flying Jatt. A Flying Jatt. I need to know what this is about.
Yeah, well, it might be his last name, J-A-T-T.
Fair enough.
Whatever. But anyway, it's about a man who gains superpowers after falling into a toxic lake while he was trying to avoid a sacred tree.
Trying to avoid a sacred tree?
Well, he tried to take the long way around and slipped and fell in the lake, and it was full of toxins and pollutants, and then gained superpowers. And I'm guessing from the title, he can now fly. But this might surprise you. He has a love interest, and there's singing and dancing in it, and a little bit of a poorly choreographed martial arts.
I'm not surprised. Based off of all of the things that you've told me about these movies, that one doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, you'd actually think the Bollywood horror movies would cut out the musical singing and dancing, right?
Well, but based off what you're telling me, that's an integral part of the Bollywood movies, is the dancing, the singing, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, but you'd think they'd cut it out of horror.
Why?
Well, imagine, like, I don't know, like, say something like Halloween 2 or The Exorcist, and all of a sudden they break out into some singing and dancing.
Well, The Exorcist, that's
the
classic horror movie. I mean, to me, that's the best horror movie ever made. But every once in a while, even in a crime movie and a drama movie, some comic relief might not be too bad, but you can't overuse it.
Well, this, when I was looking at Bollywood horror movies, a lot of the return results were the scariest Bollywood movies ever made. So apparently there are scary Bollywood movies, but having said that, they release a lot of albums kind of along the lines of, now that's what I call Bollywood horror songs, volume 12 and that type thing.
So
they still have the songs in the movies, and they've actually got compilation albums of your favorite songs.
Yeah, just like those terrible, you know, now that's what I call music. And, you know, you would buy those at the store or you know, order them online or whatever.
Yeah.
So they have those as well.
Well, I'm thinking like, and as we were talking about The Exorcist the other day, actually, on, I think, one of our Halloween podcasts, that scene, is her name Reagan in the movie?
Yeah, Reagan, something
well,
like that.
Yeah, well, when she's walking down the stairs and she kind of pisses herself, I'm thinking that might be a great time for a musical number to break out with, get a mop, get a mop, get a mop, get a mop, mop it up,
that would
she's
be great.
She's pissed on the stairs, you know, that kind of Bollywood equivalent.
And then she just jumps up and like, oh, I came down the stairs backwards in this crab walk and now I'm going to dance around like this. Yeah.
Now, you know, there's a remake of that coming out, right? I think it's like the end of this year or next year.
No, I didn't know about that. I know there were sequels to The Exorcist, which were not good.
The second one was like, was it Exorcist 2, Heretic or something? And then the third one, the prequel to The Exorcist, which was made a long time after, was actually pretty good. The third one was actually decent.
Mm. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw him, but I don't really remember too much about it.
Yeah, the second one was like a warm McDonald's milkshake. I mean, it's still a milkshake, but it's warm, you know. But what we did discover as well, and actually, you know, I tried to convince you of this and you had your doubts and you actually went on Google to fact check me, but a lot of Bollywood actresses are insanely hot.
Yes. I will admit that when you hit me with this topic, I said, I know nothing about Bollywood. Honestly, I don't know if I want to know about Bollywood. But then you said, well, you know, look up some pictures of the actors and actresses. So what I did was I went into Google and I did an image search and I literally typed Bollywood actresses. And I got to admit, lots of beautiful women.
Oh, yeah. Incredibly beautiful.
Young, beautiful women in these movies.
Now, the funny thing is, in the movies, the lead actor, at least it used to be, I think with, well, we don't know whether he's called Salman Khan or Salman Khan. I'm not sure it matters at this point because
he's still swimming upstream.
He's
trying to fight the mantis.
Apparently, he's the greatest. Well, nobody can fight mantis shrimp.
No, they can't. But maybe Bollywood actors could.
Well, maybe they could, yeah. With their superpowers by avoiding the sacred tree and that stuff.
What if they did a dance and it confused the mantis shrimp?
No, it would join in. You have to remember, the dancing in a lot of Bollywood movies, it's not just the good guys dancing and the bad guys dancing. It's not like a dance-off, right?
So it's not West Side Story.
It's not like Step Up 2 or 3 or whatever those movies are like. It's actually, everybody kind of dances together and gets along for about 2.5 minutes before they start trying to slap the crap out of each other again.
Well, that makes just as much sense as these movies do.
But a lot of those actors in those movies seem to be about at least twice as old as the actresses.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I've seen some and like, honestly, I thought, you know, until I watched a little bit more of it, that this was like a granddad or something, but that was the love interest. And one of the most frequent kind of romantic things in Bollywood movies is love triangles. There never seems to be this unrequited love or blah, blah, blah.
Love triangles. Far as like one guy, two women, two guys, one woman.
That'd be too good
work?
To be true. Now, normally it's like the male actor having to fight for the lady's affections against another guy. And so, you know, there's a few punch ups and stuff and that's it. But I thought there's absolutely no way on this earth that singing and dancing invades every single Bollywood genre, right? So I looked this up and I was wrong. Even the war movies, some of the serious war movies, even the ones which have won awards and like serious ones, they're singing and dancing. So I was kind of like looking to see if they've got a version of Full Metal Jacket, because I think that might be a bit of a blast actually to watch.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't Memphis Belle,
right,
where Harry Connick Jr. was in the movie, and so even though he was the tail gunner, they had to have that scene where he's playing the piano and has to sing a song.
Yeah.
This is more where we're just going to put this ridiculous scene in here just to have some dancing and singing around.
Right.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So do you feel you've learned everything there is to know about Bollywood today? I'm sure the audience have.
Yeah, I think if I wanted to, I would hop on a plane, I'd go over to India, and I would just start a film company. I mean, why not? It would be so much cheaper than trying to make movies over here. We have our friend that made the Velocipastor, and I say friend, you know, we think we know him because we love his work. Imagine if he had the budget in India to make that movie versus what he had to do over here.
Right.
And what could have transpired with that. Because you talked about the martial arts and everything, but can you imagine the Velocipastor with like this little dance-off scene?
Right.
That would have made the movie, it, which honestly, the movie is perfection. But if there was a step beyond perfection, if that was a Bollywood movie, wow. Well, I mean, it's going to unseat Citizen Kane as far as the number one movie of all time.
Well, I don't think Bollywood could ever come up with such a great tagline as the Velocipastor. I don't know if you remember what the tagline was. It was, he's a man of the claw.
Yeah.
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 You can't beat that.
No. That's true. Maybe Bollywood is always going to be a little behind Hollywood, but you never know.
Right.
I mean, with the day and the age we're in with Netflix and Hulu and all that stuff going on, Amazon bought the Borat sequel, didn't go into the theaters. They bought the movie and released it. Amazon's been buying up movies left and right. Movie theaters are dying.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad, actually. I mean, I used to like going to the movie theater and seeing movies. And you and I, we've went and we've seen Star Wars movies together and everything. And the whole movie theater thing is
I've seen the Star Wars movies. You've fallen asleep every movie I've ever been to with.
Yeah, that's true. I do fall asleep during the movies. I fall asleep during anything I'm trying to watch. Yeah. But well. With all that said, thanks for tuning into this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd. We hope that you have learned everything you need to know about Bollywood, because apparently I have, and now I am a Bollywood expert, and we'll catch you on the next one.